I'd like to welcome everyone. Wish everyone a Merry Christmas. We'll be having a bit of a different order of things this evening, as you'll see. But we would like to welcome you. If you're a visitor, we're especially thankful that you're here with us. And if you're looking for a home congregation, we hope you'll consider us here at Florence Boulevard. Just a few announcements before we begin. I'd like to start by congratulating Judy Malone in the birth of her great-grandbaby. Her name is Chelsea Noel, and her parents are TJ and Lanai Malone, and they're all doing great, so congratulations to them. We would like to express our sympathy to the family of Imogene James. She passed away Wednesday night. Visitation will be this Wednesday, December 28th, from 11 to noon, with the funeral following at noon. And it will all be taking place at Spry Williams Funeral Home. As I mentioned this morning, the restrooms, the main restrooms next to the lobby, are not functional. We have some frozen pipes, so you have to use any other restroom you can find. Room in the inn is this Thursday night, December 29th. So we'll need some help setting up on Wednesday night after we dismiss. That's some announcements I have.
It's good to see everyone this evening. You know, Austin has been preaching this month on the life of Christ. He started with his birth and was going through and would have finished up today talking about his great sacrifice for us, but couldn't be here. But tonight, we're going to have a time of Bible reading. We're going to have prayer, and we're going to have some singing. And it's going to be around the life of Christ. We're going to sing and read and pray about his birth, about his life, about his great sacrifice, his death. We'll do that through our communion. Then we're going to talk about his resurrection, read and pray about that and sing about that. And then finally, the reason we're all here is because of the salvation he brings us. And we're going to focus time in prayer, Bible reading and singing in that. So we're going to start with Christ's birth. And I ask you to turn with me, if it's not on the screen behind me, to Luke chapter 2. So, Tyler, you'll have all the readings up today? Okay. So, Tyler will have it up. You can follow along on the screen behind me. Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the country of Nazareth unto Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because it was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was, while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see the thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we're so thankful to you. We're so thankful to you, Father, for your Son, who is our Redeemer, Father, who's our Savior. Lord, we're so thankful to you and your wisdom and knowing that we needed him. And for you, Father, sending him to this earth. And for coming, Father, in such an humble way. Not to be exalted in an earthly way, Lord, even though he was exalted in heaven for sure. But from his very beginning, Lord, he was humble in all nature, doing your will, bringing glory to you, as he said over and over that he was here to do your will. Lord, we thank you, God, for you sending him to us. And Lord, I am so thankful that we're able to live in this great creation that you've given us, that you placed us in. And Lord, I'm so thankful for this word, for this holy word, Father, for your word, that you tell us how to live. And Lord, I'm so thankful for Christ that you sent, that shows us how to live, and for the salvation he brings to us, Lord. I pray, Father, that we'll strive to be humble like Christ, that we'll love like Christ. Lord, we have so many things to be thankful for. But we're most thankful, Lord, for your Son. And it's his name that we pray. Amen.
If you like, let's stand. Joy to the world, the Lord.
Be reading from John chapter 6, verses 22 through 40. This is where Jesus proclaims that he is the bread of life. On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, for on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So he said to him, What sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose of nothing that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For it is the will of my Father that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we are so grateful for your son, Jesus. We're so grateful for the life he lived on this earth, spotless, blameless, sinless. Lord, we thank you for the fine example he gave each and every one of us on how we should live our lives in accordance to your will. We thank you for his example on how we should treat others, how we should serve others, and how we should serve you, Lord. We just thank you so much for that sacrifice he made to come down from heaven and be amongst the people here during his life, that he could show us how we should behave, how we should love one another. Lord, we just thank you for that example, and we just pray, Lord, that we do our very best to live in accordance to your will, in accordance to his example on how we should live as Christians and in service to you, Lord. Please always help us to do your will, not ours. And it's his name we pray. Amen.
Jesus is Lord, my Redeemer. How he loves me.
Thank you. a portion about his life, and now we transition our thoughts to his sacrifice. And so we're going to sing 10,000 Angels. We'll sing the verses first with the chorus at the end. And after this song, Brother Jake will have our communion thoughts for this evening.
They found the hands of Jesus in the garden where he prayed. They led him through the streets in shame. They spat upon the Savior, so pure and free from sin. They said, crucify him,
singing about his life, and we have a concert that we've had the last two songs about his death. If anyone wants to participate in the Lord's Supper this evening and does not have a communion cup, just raise your hand and they'll bring you one. I don't see any here. Okay. We do have an opportunity to look at the after the death of the Lord on that cruel cross. His life is very important, but the death was also necessary. And much of the world today is celebrating, but they're selecting, they were doing a man-made birth of Christ today, and his birth was a great day, and the whole earth has changed because of that event. It's one of the greatest days in history. All of the events that happened before Christ, that is B.C., before Christ, now we are in what we call Anno Domini, which is the year of our Lord. But his birth made it possible for all these teachings of life, his sacrificial death, which we are reminded of right now at this Memorial Supper, and of course his resurrection, which we also sing about, which in turn made possible salvation for our resurrection. And it's available to anyone who will believe him and obey him. The day of his birth is actually unknown, but had to be somewhere around in September, if you go by when you track whether priest Zacharias would have been serving in the temple. But that's another story. We really have no scripture that authorizes celebrating his birth at all. And any man-made celebration, while it has its very good intentions, was always captured by the devil or by the merchandisers. Easter, Halloween, of course, the gifts from the North Pole. These are all man-made things. St. Nicholas really was a gift-giving bishop of in the Catholic background many years ago, about the 1500s. And he became known for his generosity, and therefore it just grew from there. And so now we have Christmas trees and everything else. But while the world is taken up with the works of Satan and his followers, the Christians have each Sunday this day to remember the sacrifice and the death of Jesus. So let's go back to thinking about Jesus' body, the body given for the debt of our sin. His illegal trial, he was spit at, he was whipped, mocked, and had to wear a crown of thorns, which they also laughed at. Then they nailed him to the cross and raised him up, and they could see his final breath as they got near, when he said, "It is finished." The plan of salvation only needed a few more days, and that was the resurrection. So let's be reminded now of his broken body as we partake of the loaf, and ask for God's blessing and for forgiveness of sins as we pray. Shall we bow and pray? Our Holy Father, we are grateful that even when the world is chasing after happiness on this man-made holiday, we as your people still remember the reason Jesus went to that cross and his purpose to defeat the devil and to ransom us from the devil's grasp on us. We'll also ask that these man-made holidays using the name of Jesus will spread around the name of Jesus, that no one on the day of judgment can ever say that they've never heard the name of Jesus or his purpose. Please bless us as we partake of this loaf. In Jesus' precious name, we bring this prayer, and amen. Let's also pray for the cup. Our holy God, our eternal Father, we now partake of this cup as a reminder of the many ways that Jesus suffered, the loss of blood during his great sacrifice that he endured on our behalf. And yes, the beatings and the crowns all brought blood, the nails in his hands and his feet, and even his sweat, and the many hours hanging on the cross while bleeding. And we are very grateful for the salvation that is offered to us because of this death, burial, and resurrection. Thank you for the plan that made for our salvation even before the world was made, for the ultimate defeat of Satan. And we pray that we will live in such a way that when judgment day comes, you can tell Satan that we belong to you, in spite of all that Satan is doing to us in our lives and in the world all around us, even on this day. We offer this prayer in Jesus' name, who went through this cruel day for us. And amen. And with this time, we also will pray for the communion. There is a device out in the foyer there if anybody wants to participate in the collection. Shall we bow again and thank God for our blessings? And Father God, we thank you very much for the gift of salvation you've offered us, and thank you for this opportunity to think about it. But we also thank you, Father, for the blessings that come to us every day, that you provide for our sustenance day by day. And we ask that what we offer this evening may be multiplied in your service, and it will become a blessing to to us also as we give. And we pray it in Jesus' name, and amen.
Be reading now from John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Well, Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple, and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter, and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down, and looking in, saw that the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, and following him, and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there, and then the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. And as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their homes. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And as she saw two angels in white sitting, one on the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have taken him." And now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" And she, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him, "Rabboni." And Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and to your God." And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken things to her. And now we'll go to Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. He is he who condemns. It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also seeks intercession with us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, "For your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this world that you have created for us, in our life that you have blessed us in it. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the very air that we breathe, for the food and shelter that we enjoy. Thanks for your blessing us with this country that we live in and the freedoms that we have. Thank you for our families. Thank you for our church families around the world, and especially our family here at Florence Boulevard. Thank you for the love and the unity here at Florence Boulevard. And thank you for your understanding and patience with us, Heavenly Father. Thank you for your everlasting love. It's hard for us to comprehend, but thank you, Heavenly Father, for that. And thank you, Heavenly Father, for providing for us a Savior because of that everlasting love that you have for us. Thank you for his resurrection that makes eternal life with you possible. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for every blessing that we enjoy. And thank you for Christ. In his precious name we do pray at this time. Amen.
Christ arose from the dead, but his work is not done. He's victorious over the devil. We look at Hebrews chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 1 through 18. And leading up to that, this is where the author of Hebrews says, begins by saying, Jesus is better. And as mentioned this morning, Brother Greg talked about the angels and then how that they minister unto us. And that first chapter goes into that. But he says there's something better, and that's where we begin. There's someone better than angels. And it says, for this reason, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away from it. For if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was the first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard, God also testifying with them, both with signs and wonders, and by various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. For he did not subject to angels the world to come concerning which we are speaking, but one testified somewhere saying, what is man that you remember him, or the son of man that you are concerned about him? You have made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, and have appointed him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in subjecting all things to him, he left nothing that is subject to him. But now we do not yet see all things subjected to him. But we do see him who was made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom all things, and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children from God has given me. Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and might free those through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. For assuredly he does not give help to angels, but he gives help to the descendant of Abraham. Therefore he had to be made like his brethren in all things, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For since he himself was tempted in that which he was suffered, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. Now we'll look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. And the key phrase is in Jesus. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us to the adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, with a view to the administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in heavens and things on earth in him. Also, we have attained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we were the first to God in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. In him you also are listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise,
who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. And I'd like to add verses 22 and verse 23. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Let us pray. God, our Father, we thank you for salvation. There's so many things that I don't understand. But what I do and what we do as a church, understand that salvation comes because of you. Because you, as God, predetermined a plan for us to follow. A plan for us to follow your Son, to be in him. That we are blessed through him, that he is that author and the finisher of our salvation. That he now is the high priest, that he suffered all those things upon the cross and upon this earth. And he suffered those things doing your will and was tempted and was tried by people. You sent him to this earth for that, and we're thankful for that. Sometimes we do not show that as we should. We do not recognize it as we should, and we ask that you please forgive us and help us to better see, to better look within your word, to look within your love, and as that we as a church will always honor you, and that your name will be respected within our families, within our community, and within the world. That the salvation is not just kept with us here, that we will proclaim, that we will not be ashamed, that we will share the good news of our salvation to others, that others might be saved, not because of anything that we do, but all because what you have done and what he has done as Son. Help us, help us understand how that we can be your servants better. Help us through your word. Help us through your love. We're so thankful. We're so thankful that we have a place after this life to go to, a place far better, and we're blessed here, but a place far better that our imaginations just cannot grasp. Thank you for that hope that we have, for that knowing that you have done this for us and that he has went to prepare a place for us. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Salvation belongs to our God, who sits upon the throne. And unto the Lamb be praise and glory, wisdom and thanks, honor and power and strength. Be to our God forever.
Brother Don will come up and give a devotional thought and extend the invitation for the evening. If you'd like, let's stand as we sing this song. Just to kind of recap our evening, we started with Christ's birth. We looked at a glimpse of his life. We looked at his sacrifice. And we looked at his resurrection and salvation that is offered through him. And truly, as the song states, had it not been for that, had it not been for him being on our side, then everything else truly would be in vain. After we sing this song, we'll turn it over to Brother Don.
Had it not been the Lord who's on our side, had it not been the Lord who was on our side, the anger of the enemy would have swallowed us alive. Had it not been the Lord who was on our side, blessed be the Lord who would not give us up. Blessed be the Lord.
If tonight I were to ask you, what is the greatest gift that you've ever received? What would you come up with? Now, it might be some material thing. Maybe you were given a car at a special time when you didn't think that was coming. Or perhaps as you got older, there were sentimental things that you received from family or friends. With my father's passing this year, we've been going through stuff that we had to take out of their home. And so I found cards and letters and recipes and things that are priceless, that you don't put a price on because of the ones that wrote it and the ones who did that. Perhaps maybe some of those are the great gifts that you've received. Or you might say, well, life, being able to be born into a free country would certainly be a great blessing. And that would certainly be true. For me, it was March 9th, 1957. I believe they told me around 3:30 in the morning. My sister was 3 years of age, and mom and dad found out they were having twins. So about 3:30 that morning, there were 12 and a half pounds of two babies brought into the world, 6 pounds and 6.5 pounds. I was the... Somebody says, well, why is your brother bigger than you? I should be. He's older than I am by 5 minutes. We've told the story that mom had one child, then she had two children, so she quit. But anyway, life would certainly be a blessing, a great gift that we all enjoy. But we've been talking about perhaps the greatest gift, spiritual life. That time in which we realize that we are sinners in this world and that we need to change our state in life. It was a Sunday afternoon in September of 1970, when I was the age of 13, that I obeyed the gospel. became a child of God. My dad baptized me. Greg this morning talked about 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, and the state that that gift puts us into. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We've been talking about the salvation of Christ, and in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, Paul, through the mind of God, is moved to say at the end of that discussion, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And that word is used to suggest the idea of that which is indescribable. One translation said, a gift beyond words. There's just no way to put into words what it means to us. A person, in order to do that, must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that they admit that they are not where they need to be, that there's a need to change, repentance. And thus, with that mouth, they then confess that Jesus is God's Son, and then submit and trust his will by being immersed into water so that all your sins might be forgiven. I believe all of us here tonight would suggest that of all the gifts that we ever can receive, that certainly is the greatest one. Think about what takes place whenever we receive that salvation that is offered to us by Christ. There is that salvation, that release from that burden and bondage of sin into a new way of life. And the older that we get, then the more we realize how great and how precious that is to have a Father through Christ that we can go to and ask forgiveness of those daily wrongs that we commit. And that grace that is so, so beautiful is offered unto us through the faith that we try to live. And then with that salvation, there's a family. Whether we're a single person, whether we are a widowed person, when a person becomes a child of God, they take on a family. A family that loves them, a family that prays for them, a family that shows their love and care and concern, not just when they become a child of God, but in the darkest days, in the middle of the night, that family is there. And then perhaps above all, there's that hope that is given to us. A hope that is so, so very important. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has given us a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, and that is undefiled, and that does not fade away. And then I like this part, reserved in heaven for you. It's great for us, but isn't it wonderful to think that we can have a reservation that's awaiting me, that's awaiting you? Not because of all the good that we do, but because we have a good Savior who accepts us and a Father who is willing to forgive us and work with us day in and day out. That is perhaps the greatest gift that we can ever receive. Greg, in his lesson, uses the illustration, the movie It's a Wonderful Life, and we watched it on Friday night, and it's a regular tradition for us. But later on, I learned that in 1946, when the rights of that story, written story, were bought by Frank Capra from a radio corporation company, that when it was given unto him, it wasn't called It's a Wonderful Life. In fact, it was called The Greatest Gift. And what was it all about? A person who was willing to give of himself to make a difference in the lives of others. And aren't we glad that Jesus has done that for us? That he didn't stay there by the side of God, but that he was willing to come to this earth to live, to show us how to live. and then to go through the worst humanity death ever possible because he loves you and he loved me. That is the greatest gift. And tonight it's offered unto you on this final Sunday of this year to become a child of God if you're not yet one, to do the things that need to be done. The greatest here already have done that. Perhaps there are things in your life that separate you from God. Or maybe you just need to allow your family here at church to let you know of burdens and struggles or situations that are arising in your life so that they can pray with you and for you. Whatever the case is, a loving Savior invites you to come to him right now as we stand and sing.
Here's my ear, oh Lord.
Greatest thanks goes to God Almighty. Thank you. Have a good week.
Who's got our closing prayer? Go ahead.
Shall we pray? Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity we've had to be here tonight and to hear the words from the stories about your son, from his birth, his life, his ministry, to his death, cruel death he endured, his resurrection. Dear Lord, thank you for each person that had a part in this service, for all that made this service what it is. Dear Lord, thank you for the last few days that we've had to spend with those that are family members, our loved ones, those we care so much about. Dear Lord, help us throughout this next year to appreciate them a little bit more and to show our appreciation by the love that we show to them. Dear Lord, throughout this year, there have been many, many prayers sent up to you from this congregation. Dear Lord, only you know the number. There have been many prayers for the health issues that many of this congregation and the ones we know are enduring. Dear Lord, there's been many prayers for the health of their souls, of many that we know about. Dear Lord, there's been many prayers sent up about new babies that were born this year, new babies that will be born next year. Dear Lord, there's been many prayers sent up to you, and we thank you for hearing those prayers. We thank you for answering so many, dear Lord. Dear Lord, I thank you for giving us this year together here at Florence Boulevard. Dear Lord, help us to appreciate each other a little bit more in this coming year. And dear Lord, help us to, as we end this year, help us to evaluate ourselves, evaluate our lives, and see if there are things that we can improve on. We all know that there is. And dear Lord, help us to desire to be stronger, closer to you, and stronger examples for you. Dear Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for all that you do for us. And we ask this prayer in your Son's holy name. Amen.